Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Of all the seasons of the church, the Christmas season is one of our favorites, the blessed coming of the Christ child, whom we have come to know as Savior and Lord, is an awesome celebration of life given through having a relationship with Almighty God through Christ. Today, we begin the season of Advent by reminding ourselves of the birth of Christ, the hope of his return, and the joy and excitement of his presence in each of us. Each of the decorations we present this morning speak of the many special symbols of the season. And we're going to sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. First decoration this morning is the poinsettias. This beautiful plant has a cluster of small yellow flowers that spring forth from among crimson leaves. The star-shaped formation of the red leaves suggests the guiding star of Bethlehem. The crown of yellow flowers reminds us of him who was born the infant king. The blood-red leaves foreshadow the cruel cross that lay ahead for the King of Glory. If you guys who are doing poinsettias can come, we're going to place the poinsettias around four here, and then we have Parker. Parker. Yeah, I have. We have the eight covered, but I have a couple that I. Bethlehem. It's page 128. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. Thank you. God's timelessness and his eternal plan of salvation and his endless mercy are represented by the wreath. Its color of green speaks of the hope we have in God. The evergreen color also denotes eternal life that we are granted when we come to know Christ as our Savior and Lord. Church. The wreaths will be hanging there for them to see. And we're going to sing verse 2 of Go Tell It on the Mountain. A signal for people to gather together for worship. The joyful ringing of the bells is undeniably associated with Christmas, reminiscent of the birth that changed the world for all time. Mary and Faith are going to take the bells, going to hang one on the piano, one on the organ. One of the most beautiful and meaningful traditions of the Christmas season is the lighting of candles. Candles represent the promises that Scripture gives us about life as a child of the King. They represent royalty and the welcoming of a king. There is a candle of expectation or hope. It draws our attention to the anticipation of the coming of a Messiah. And then I talked to several people about the candles in the windows. So if everybody I asked about candles in the windows can come up. And we have the 6 candles right there. Thank you. O beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us the light to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, to light the left side candle. This candle represents peace, the priceless gift that Christ gives to all who are willing to place their trust and their faith in Him, peace that is far beyond our understanding in the face of trials and heartaches of this world. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, one of our most treasured gifts. Light the candle on the right side of our arrangement. This candle represents joy. It reminds us of the deep-seated assurance that someone loves and understands who we are and what we face each day. Joy which is unspeakable and full of grace and glory because Christ lives within each one of us. Then we're going to sing one verse, verse number 3, of joy unspeakable and full of glory.
I can see his smiling face.
And then we're going to light the pink candle in the middle of the arrangement. This candle represents love. The light of this pink candle is meant to remind us of the love that God has for each one of us. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." As we light this candle, may we manifest our lights in all of the world. And we'll sing, "The light of the world is Jesus," verses 1 and 2. The central location of the Christ candle, right there, front and center on the table, reminds us that the incarnation, the manifestation of God in Christ, is the heart of the season, giving light to the world. The light reminds us that Jesus comes into the darkness of our lives to bring newness, life, and hope. Most significantly, the lighting of the Christ candle reminds us that Jesus has indeed come and is amongst us. The Messiah was indeed born into the world and walked among the people of the earth, sharing the news of salvation in him. And at this time, I should have warned Faith that our song is right after the candle, so she wouldn't have had to go all the way back. We're going to sing for you this morning, "Hail, Hail to the Newborn King."
Thank you. shine so bright to the knowing light of the stable. Feel close to the child so dear. Cast aside your fear and be thankful.
Hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing Him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior.
Appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The angel proclaimed the giving of the greatest gift that ever would or could be given. Significantly, this morning, we notice that even as the angel proclaimed the good news, the cross lay ahead. The gift? Salvation, eternity, and life abundant and free. And we're going to put the angel. Pastor Jim will grab the angel because I didn't pick out anybody beforehand. I did. We'll put the angel on the top of the tree as we sing "Angels We Have Heard on High," page 134, the first verse.
Singing o'er the plains and the mountains.
Magi from the east came, and when they saw the child, they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Gift-giving as Christmas is inspired by those wise men who presented the newborn king with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Even closer to our hearts is the precious gift of salvation given by the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ the King. We who have the gift of salvation are given the divine privilege of sharing with those who have not accepted his love. He who lavished us with eternal, abundant life asks us to share the message of good news with all we come in contact with. We're going to sing, it's number 148, verse 1, We Three Kings. And as we sing, we're going to have kids, anybody who wants to do it, we have candy canes up here on the front pew, and we want a candy cane handed out to every person here this morning. So, Sebastian, do you wanna? Yep, come on up. I don't know your friend's name. I think you should. Do you wanna help hand out candy canes too? You don't have to if you don't want to. Mike? All right. You do. I assume you guys are here. And you're gonna, do you wanna hand out candy canes? You guys wanna help hand out candy canes? Yeah? All right, come on, let's grab a couple and hand them out. As we're finishing up handing out candy canes, let's sing verse 1 of We Three Kings. The gift which you now hold in your hand is representative of the gift God has given to us. Just as we are to share the good news of Jesus, let's share this gift with someone who does not know Jesus. As you go about your normal schedule this Advent season, ask God to lay someone on your heart that needs to have the gift of salvation. You don't have to tell them why you're giving them the gift, but as you give it, ask God for opportunities to share the marvelous message of Christmas with this person. And let's sing one verse, the first verse of the first Noel, number 139. 139. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And as we close out our hanging of the greens, let's stand and sing Joy to the World, number 118, all four verses. Seated, and thank you to everyone who took part and assisted us in that. Pastor Jim is going to come now.
Oh no, got him now. The boring stuff, right? So I appreciate everyone coming today, and those of you who are visiting with us today, and I want to say a great big thank you to Dave and Julie and their family for putting this together, and appreciate it. And Samuel Senior did a good job. Faith, you did a good job as well. And isn't it good to have family together? Yeah. So, and you're all together here, and that's great. We also had a bunch of elves all week putting up the decorations, the wreaths, and Amber and her family, Ava, I don't see her, where she at? Oh, there she is, Ava there. Parker, can't forget about Parker. If it wasn't Parker, you wouldn't have that scene out there. I actually told Amber, if it wasn't for Parker, none of this would be done, actually, because he got stuff done. But Ava just did too. Ava did the wreaths on the hanging on the wall, and Nicole and her family came over and helped out, and appreciate it so very much, because if it wasn't for them, all this wouldn't be done, right? Many hands make like the work, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate all of you being here, going to eat up all the food later. The worst thing I like is food that's left over, so I want you to eat it all. So I have something very simple this morning to give to you. And the title of the message is this: For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and that son and that child is Christ the Lord. So I'm going to start out the message a little lightheartedly, okay? This is a trivia test. I know some of this will also maybe be a scary thing. This will tell you how much time you spend in front of the TV identifying these. So I've got a couple of movie statements. See if you can figure out what movie they came from. Bah, humbug. The Christmas Carol. Very good. Who said that? I'm going to keep up with who tags this. Okay, who's watching more TV? The second one is this. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing aloud for all to hear. Elf. Who said it, Elf, first? Who said it? Yeah, all these kids did. They know that. Here's another one. What if Christmas doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? Oh, my goodness. Okay, here we go. Wait a minute. I'm giving you the answers. I'm gonna make this statement here. Merry Christmas, y'all filthy animal. Which one? Two. Home Alone 2. Well, it also probably was in Home Alone 1 because he repeated the same scene again. So, it is. Here's the other statement. Remember, no man is a failure who has friends. It's a wonderful life. You didn't know that one, did you? Oh, he did say he knows them. He's just saying he don't want to be the winner of this thing. That's what it is. And I don't want to make him laugh either because of All right, so I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it there all year. Christmas Carol, I heard it. You tried to whisper it. There's a certain magic that comes from the very first snow. For when the first snow is also a Christmas snow, well, there's something wonderful is bound to happen. Frosty the Snowman. Who said, besides him, yeah. Yeah. I would figure Ava would have got all these, but I had no idea that our resident movie buff over there would have gotten it all. So it's amazing how the world and many people try to disband Christmas. And Christmas time and season is one of the most impactful things that happen in a calendar year. We look forward to it. It's the last of the year. We're looking forward to a new year. Some people look forward to it for regretful times. But most of us look forward to Christmas time. We can't wait till Christmas gets here. The kids can't wait to receive their presents and to see what happens. The transition in the community when houses put up their lights and their Christmas decorations, and people can't wait. People go all over the place, all over this state, matter of fact, seeing what great communities there are that are lit up and the different parks that have lights. Even to the point in our lives that Christmas influences in our everyday life of what we do. Even to the point of those who really don't even believe in Christ, who don't believe in Christmas, who come to church every once in a while. Everyone in the world knows that what Christmas is about. And if I were to ask you today, if I could get you to describe Christmas in one word, what would it be? As some of you would say, spiritually, Christ. But some of you would say family. Some would you say lights, candles, exactly what we had here today. Tree, presents, Santa Claus. And we would name a lot of different things, but then some would say these three words. Joy, peace, and love. And so I have to ask you, in a more practical way, where in the world did we get joy? Where does peace come from? And then where does love come from? Where did we know where those things are? Now, you can give a kid a gift and he can be happy. But to have a kid to be joyous is a completely different thing. And for you to be joyous. But where did that come from? Did you learn it in a book? Did they teach it in school? Did you learn it in Sunday school even? It's not a subject or a feeling or an emotion that is taught. It's something that comes over you. It's inside of you. It's a seed that is planted. And when you were born, God put inside of you the seed, the greatest present that you could possibly have, and that is joy, peace, and love. Even the Bible points out that love is the greatest of these things. Where did you get it? How did it develop? Did you have it as a child? Did you lose it as an adult? Or do you only grow up and get love? Love is instilled in us at the very first moment. When a child reaches out to its mother for loving nurturement, the child is very innocent and not knowing, but that child knows who his mother is or her mother. And love is expounded in the very moment the child takes the first breath. Where did that love come from? Explain to me that God doesn't exist. Explain to me that Jesus wasn't born in a manger, who was the picture of all love. Explain to me that none of those things ever existed and they're no longer around. If I were to ask you this morning, what would be the most familiar phrase that you identify with Christmas? What would it might be? Or maybe a song. You would be able to come up with one. So, for example, Mary, did you know? Or something like this. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Even in the word before Christmas is the word Mary, which is a symbol of joy, peace, and love. And all the world knows, they've tried to cut out Christmas, put it Xmas, or holidays, but they can't overcome the fact that this season is about joy, peace, and love. And where did it come from? In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse number 16, or 6, let me get through this mess. The Bible says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This was prophesied nearly 1,600 years ago before Christ was born. And yet, the world stands still every moment, every year, of every generation at this time, and wonder about the beautiful peace, the joy, and love. The verse goes on in verse number 7, "Of an increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then in Luke chapter 2, we find the Christmas story. "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men." People have tried to disprove the creation. People have tried to disprove the empty tomb. People have tried to disprove the life of Christ. But they have a very difficult time, and you may even have one if you are skeptical today, of disproving that joy, peace, and love are a part of this world. And where did it come from? We can rebel against it. We can say that we hate another person. But love crops up every once in a while. You can do all that you can to get rid of joy and peace and love, but eventually in your life, that seed crops back up again. Where did it come from? It came from the fact that Jesus came to this earth and God gave His greatest gift to all of mankind, His Son, Jesus Christ. And that you cannot deny. You can try. You can try to explain it away. But this Christmas, as any Christmas, I would like to challenge you to sit down with your family and really consider those three gifts: joy, peace, and love. And what you could do to enhance joy, peace, and love in your home, in your family. It's a chaotic time. It's a chaotic world. And somewhere along the way, we've gotten off track of who we are and what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to share the love of Christ, the love to all the world. We've gotten so busy and caught up in ourselves that we've really forgotten the whole real meaning of Christmas and why it came. We're going to sing a song in the conclusion, not an invitational song, but more of a message about what child is this. It's something that you've got to identify. Who is he to you? And what did he give to you? What is the most precious gift in your life that you have? And I would say, just like the Bible, the most valuable gift you have is the fact that God loves you and that he gave it to you to be given to someone else. It is what will solve the world's problems, and it will solve your chaos in your home. If we just hold on to one another a little bit tighter and love each other, the truth is that you never know when you wished you had someone to hold on to. People are going to leave your house. Your home is going to come back to just you and four walls. And if you show hatred, anger, and despite, you'll be there all alone by yourself. But if your expression through your life is to share love and give it to others, you'll have friends and people who will help you. And I guarantee you, at some point in your life, you're going to need somebody to help you. And the only way you can have friends, as the Bible says, show yourself friendly, but you got to love them. You can't just get from them. You got to share love. Where does it come from? Who has that gift of love? Where are you going to get it from? Let's all stand. We sing 143, What Child Is This? You need to come to the altar. Don't let these flowers scare you to death. We have an altar that you can come and pray. You can sit on the front pew and pray, and we'll have people to pray with you. This is not a church who judges you for what you do or even think about maybe what happened. We want you to find God as we sing. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the blessings you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for the greatest gift that you've given to mankind, and that is your Son. We thank you that you not only just gave him and he came here, but he gave his life. He obeyed you and he followed your instructions, and he was willing to die for us. Dear God, we thank you for the power that raised him from the dead, and that same power is going to send him back to retrieve his children. And God, we thank you for that, and I pray that we would be prepared. Our hearts would be ready. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be more loving, have more joy in our hearts, and have the peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you for the gifts you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.